T-minus 24. Ford McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. With most of the humans in the living room still dumbstruck into silence following Leisha's arrival and now staring in awe as Dan was physically connected to him, Dan momentarily gazed around and took in one anticipatory expression after another. Their faces brought into focus the fact that everyone wanted answers, but the slight differences in expressions also acted as stark reminders that some of them knew more about the important questions than others. Billy and Timo knew what had been unearthed at Dort Lutepe, and that New Kerguelen's shelter seemingly served no purpose, but were in the dark about Piper's telekinetic burden. Henry, Phil, and Mr. Bird, meanwhile, knew only as much as the general public, that something of major significance had likely been discovered in Turkey, with Billy so far coy about revealing too much. None of the senior trio knew anything about the shelter, much less Piper. When Dan looked back to Leisha, whose mind he hoped to be full of answers and particularly one important solution, it dawned on him that Leisha was more out of the loop than anyone. As far as Dan knew, Leisha knew nothing of the shelter discovery, the find at Dort Lutepe, or Piper's remarkable power. None of these thoughts were particularly clear in Dan's mind, so he didn't think they would have been transmitted to Leisha in the pseudo-verbal manner the cable enabled, but he nevertheless opted to speak aloud in an attempt to focus his own mind on precisely what he wanted to convey. He trusted everyone in the room, so clarity really was more important than discretion. In most regards, anyway. But Dan still had no plans to blurt out anything about Piper, at least until he knew exactly what was going on. The presence of a cable in his own neck sent Dan's thoughts immediately to Turkey, so his first question reflected this. Did you see what Billy found in Turkey? The carvings?
No,
Leisha said, his response only audible to Dan. The conversation would continue in this way, with Dan voicing his questions and replies purely for the benefit of his own precision. He planned to occasionally repeat Leisha's replies if there was something he wanted one or more of the others to hear immediately, but he had a feeling this might fall by the wayside when he became deeply involved in a revelatory conversation. Did you go home yesterday? Dan asked, needing this context to know where to take his questioning next.
No, I remained in your atmosphere, cloaked, as I have been since your crew left for New Kerguelen. That is why I'm here, Dan. They are back. I have not been watching earthly events closely, as without the communication side of my uplift powers being activated, human speech and group behaviors are not easily understandable. Your crew is in China. I was alerted to their return by the entry into Earth's atmosphere of a second cloaked craft.
Concern crossed Dan's face. Why was it cloaked? That mission wasn't a secret. Is something wrong?
Several things are wrong, Leisha replied, the words doing nothing to calm Dan's mind. The crew of the returning craft, its crew, not the human shelter repair team who were its passengers, were troubled for two reasons. First, the human team have engaged in deceit to perform tests without permission.
Oh, shit. Dan cursed to himself, anxiously closing his eyes and taking a deep breath. He vaguely heard calls of what's wrong and similar questions from the others, but his focus remained on Leisha.
Second, the alien continued, and even more troublingly, those tests found something.
About the shelter? Leisha hesitated.
About what lies beyond our shelter.
Who knows about what they discovered? Dan asked. How has it been received?
All of my fellow interpreters and all of our council members from the other castes know. There has been immediate disagreement on how to proceed, and as you can perhaps imagine, there has also been some anger towards the human team's deceitfulness.
Dan scratched his chin. He had supported the crew's intention to find out more about New Kerguelen without involving the messengers precisely because their reaction had been unlikely to be supportive, but the downside of that was always the risk of being found out.
They were guests on our world, Leisha replied to a thought Dan hadn't even consciously shared. And you knew. You knew. One of your team outright lied about his health to enable his return to Earth, and you knew. This is not excusable.
I only knew they were doing the second test, Dan insisted. I didn't talk to the crew and didn't make any decisions, and I only kept it from you because we didn't want to cause any drama for you until we knew for sure what was out there.
Leisha appeared to consider these words deeply. Are our people safe? Dan asked.
Did your people at least send them back safe?
We are not monsters, Leisha replied, seemingly affronted. Of course they are safe. This is not to say everyone was willing to send them home without punishment. Our squadron are less prone to diplomacy than ourselves, as you may recall, but Sacco and our lower-ranking interpreters accepted the humans' reasoning. They did not want to alarm us or excite us with an unproven theory, so they engaged in tests without our knowledge. Without the outright lie, this would have been more palatable, but the discovery itself is greatly destabilizing.
So what are the consequences? Dan asked. Leisha, you need to know that the crew didn't represent all of us.
I know that, but tensions are high. The discovery alone is causing problematic disagreement about how to react, but the feeling that our trust in humanity was misplaced is very real.
We can fix it, Dan said. Leisha, we—
I know,
the alien interrupted, the thoughts reaching Dan, as always, in his own inner voice.
But I have to go home, and you have to come with me.
Dan exhaled sharply and turned to Emma. The crew got caught and sent home. The messengers are angry about the lies, but they also know what the crew found out about the shelter. There's a lot of disagreement, and Leisha wants me to go to New Kerguelen with him to try to smooth things over. I really think— You've got to be out of your mind, Henry butted in. Dan, Jesus, I don't know what you're talking about with the shelter stuff, but if they're angry at us and just booted our crew off the damn planet, you can't go there to help them sort their problems.
It's not just their problems we're trying to solve here, Henry, Emma replied.
Dan gulped. Where are the crew now? He asked, keen to get as much information out of Leisha as possible before dealing with the familiar argument and potentially the huge revelation that was looming ever closer on the horizon.
China, Leisha said. The leader asked for Ding. Once Ding received proof of the team's discovery, I acted. Ding is with Godfrey now, and we are going to join them.
In China? Or on New Kerguelen?
First, the table room, Leisha replied.
For a split second, Dan wondered how they would get into the table room at a time of night when the UN building would be closed, and particularly now that Unica was in the final stages of disbanding and that he himself had already officially stepped down. Without an access pass, he'd be locked out at any time of day, he considered. When this split second was up, however, he remembered that Leisha had just brought three people from another building in New York to this one in Colorado without worrying about anything so trifling as doors or, indeed, walls. Even after so long, the idea took a lot of getting used to. Once his mind had recalibrated back to the current reality he faced, Dan looked at Emma again. He's taking me to New York first, to talk to Godfrey and Ding at the table. Tara, do you want to come? To New York, for sure. But maybe the whole way? All eyes fell on Tara, including those of Leisha, who appeared to approve. As much as Tara wanted to say yes, glancing at Piper prevented her from doing so. She shook her head.
I just can't. It's different for you. They need you.
Dan nodded. In truth, as much help as Tara had been last time, he didn't want her to step unnecessarily into what sounded like a huge and potentially dangerous mess. And he didn't know about Dortolu Tepe? Billy Kendrick chimed in, speaking for the first time. Because that could be important, Dan. If we give them more information they don't have, that could give context to their history, too. Maybe it'll ease the anger? Dan turned to Leisha and formulated this into a question, since Leisha couldn't understand Billy without his own full uplift powers in place. The question included a description of the primary carving, which showed a large alien attaching itself to a human contactee with a very familiar cable.
He comes with us, Leisha said. He must engage with our planetary historians.
Billy? Dan said. Billy looked on in anxious anticipation. Yeah? You're coming with us. He wants you to talk about what you found with some of their people. Well, you know, not people. He said you have to engage with their planetary historians. In fearless disbelief, which the others found fairly difficult to understand, Billy smiled broadly.
You just can't be serious about this, Henry yelled at Dan. No, no, I won't let you. Clark, talk some sense into him. Phil, Bird, tell him.
It's madness, Phil said as Mr. Bird nodded beside him. Clark said nothing. Timo, pensive at Billy's side, spoke next.
I'm with Henry. Billy, if you do this, if you take this reckless, needless risk, our working relationship is over. Leisha, I trust. Leisha, I like. But the rest of them, the squadron who stood with Jack Neal last year, if they are angry, you cannot travel to their world for reasons that won't benefit us while they are angry at us. Dan, I urge you too, in the strongest terms, to reconsider. Cooperation is one thing, but it serves an end, the betterment of humanity. This is an unacceptable risk with insufficient reward to counter it.
If they close the door on us, we have bigger problems than any of you know, Emma said.
She gulped, perfectly aware of the questions that would follow.
Dan, he needs to know too. If the rest of them are angry, Leisha needs to know why we haven't told everyone certain things and what we need from them. If they can help us with this, you need to go. If they can't or won't, you would be risking everything for nothing, like your dad just said.
Dan's eyes rested squarely upon Emma as she stood with their daughter, who was awake, but innocently and utterly oblivious to the high-stakes drama she was at the heart of. He raised his eyebrows to ask the question that didn't need to be voiced to be understood. They had trusted Leisha enough to hold Piper. So was it now finally time to trust him and the others present with the revelation of the problem they could almost certainly only solve together? Emma closed her eyes for a moment, as though debating it one last time. The situation wasn't just spiraling out of her control. A tornado-like vortex was already in motion and set to consume everything in its path. Changing course seemed like the only viable option, but the countless reasons why the current course had been chosen in the first place and adhered to for so long were hard to shake. The revelation of unrest of New Kerguelen, particularly as related to unauthorized human action, threw an additional spanner into the works. For if the messengers opted to close the door to further contact, the consequences hardly bore thinking about. Emma had never shared Dan's modicum of optimism that further excavation of Dortlu Tepe might ultimately unearth tools and technologies as well as mere representations of prior contact, and as such, she fully believed that the only way to fix Piper was with the messenger's help. Now that the concept of any future cooperation was balanced on a knife edge, the mental calculations of comparative risk analysis were suddenly very different. Emma glanced down one last time at Piper, who was still staring with interest and what looked like mild amusement at the extraterrestrial being which stood out among her family and their friends like the chunks of fruit in the semi-solid foods her parents had recently been trying to tempt her with.
Say it, Emma said, forcing out the words.
Dan kept his eyes on her, seeking final confirmation that she really meant it. When he got it, he didn't wait any longer. Leisha, like the five present humans who didn't yet know the remarkable and unsettling truth, was utterly transfixed on Dan as he finally and desperately blurted it out. Piper has the power.